Turning Point is brought to you by PC Wealth Management of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney and the law firm of Duffy & Duffy, protecting the victims of medical error.
Our special guest today is Foghat drummer Roger Earl.
How you doing?
Doing good. And founder, I should say. You one of the
one of the founders.
Let's start right in with the founding of Foghat.
Foghat was founded in 1971. Three of us were in a band called Savoy Brown, a blues band. I joined them in 1967. And we left Savoy Brown the end of 1970 and formed Foghat. And got to thank Savoy Brown. That was my first real paying gig.
Not too much, though. You were talking off.
£12, 10 shillings a week to start off with. But I didn't get paid for the first 6 weeks. It's a blues band, so I did the
And it was a signed band at the time.
Yeah, it was a signed band, yeah. And I did the audition at a little pub in southwest London. And I packed my drums up, and I guess I got the gig. Nobody really said anything. Then I was going downstairs, putting my drums in my dad's car. He lent me his car. And they said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Going back to work." I was a commercial artist at the time. I was 20 years old. I said, "We've got a gig in Birmingham tonight. You're in."
How far is Birmingham from London?
It was 150 miles, something like that, of the motorway. And it was interesting, but I didn't get paid for about the first 5 weeks. So I went in to see the manager, Harry Simmons. He was the lead guitar player's brother. He came from Wales. And I said, "Harry, I haven't been paid yet." He said, "You haven't been paid, boy? Oh, we'll see about that then." So 6 weeks rolled by, I still haven't been paid. And so I started looking for more jobs. I auditioned for Jimi Hendrix. That was a thrill. I auditioned for Crazy World of Arthur Brown to play drums. Didn't get either of those gigs. And then after about 7 weeks, I went back to see Harry, the manager, and said, "Harry, I still haven't been paid yet." And he said, "You haven't been paid, boyo." So eventually I started getting paid. I don't think I got back pay, but it was a lot of fun. It was a terrific band and a real learning experience.
Did you record with them?
Yeah, I did. Did five albums with Savoy Brown, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's very exciting.
How close did you come to getting Hendrix?
Probably came in fifth.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but Jimmy was really cool. We was auditioning in a club just off of Piccadilly Circus. I think it was called Birdland. But this is quite a few years ago, 67. So and it's raining as usual. Everybody's lining up outside. It's at midday, about 12 o'clock. And Jimmy comes up and starts talking to me and telling me about songs he's written the night before. Beautiful guy, an incredible player.
You remember what songs they were?
That I played.
No, that he wrote the night
before. He just said that he'd been writing some songs. He was just talking about songs he'd written the night before. Very, very open, real friendly, and incredible guitar player. I played for about 40 minutes with him, I think.
What did you play with him?
Drums.
What songs?
Played like a Red House, a bluesy kind of thing. We did a Chuck Berry tune. I think Johnny Be Good. Played a couple of shuffles. We did a Bob Dylan song, I think.
Along the Water, I think.
Something like that. And it took me a little while, to be honest with you, to figure out what was going on, because he'd be out there and he just started playing, and I'd never heard anything like it. I mean, I was schooled in like rock and roll and blues, which is like you know, fairly straight ahead. And he's like playing all this really cool stuff I'd never heard. It took me about 5 or 10 minutes, but he was very generous with his time with me. Thank you, Jimmy.
How was he? Was he straight when he auditioned, or was he wasted?
No, he was cool. He loved to play. In fact, I got up and jammed with him a few times.
Well, that doesn't mean he wasn't wasted, though.
No, yeah, I don't know. No, he seemed fine. Jimmy took his playing and his art real serious. I got up and jammed with him over here in New York, a place called Steve Paul Scene, back in when I first came here with Savoy Brown back in, I think it was 68. And I also jammed with him in a club out in LA one time with Eric Burden and a few other people. That might have been a little hazy.
When we come back, more with Roger Earl from Foghat.
Turning Point with Frank McKay is brought to you by Smith & DeGroat Real Estate, serving the tri-state area since 1955, and CAI Insurance Solutions since 1961. On the web at www.conferenceny.com.
Today at Atlantic Honda, we decided to interview some real customers.
They're family-oriented, and I really like the spot.
The price is fantastic. I wasn't even planning on getting a brand-new car, and I wound up getting an old 12.
Lease a 2012 Civic LX for just $89 a month. Lease a 2012 Accord for just $139 a month.
There's so much to choose from, it was hard, you know?
Got 10 cars to them.
Have a very good finance program.
This surpasses anything we've ever experienced in other Honda dealerships.
Visit AtlanticHonda.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Jonas.
And I'm Danielle Jonas.
And we chose to have our wedding at Ohika Castle because it's an amazing place where dreams have definitely come true.
Ohika is a real-life castle built back in 1919 by Otto Hermann Kahn. During the Roaring Twenties, he entertained famous celebrities such as Charlie Chaplin and Enrico Caruso. Lots of cool stuff happens at Ohika Castle, like weddings, bar and bat mitzvahs, sweet 16s, and historic mansion tours.
And this is Ohika Castle in Huntington, New York. So we love it there, and we cannot wait to go back.
We were dealing with a mountain of credit card debt. We didn't know what to do.
Being in debt is a nightmare. The constant phone calls, the stress, and the damage to your credit report.
We felt trapped.
That's when I heard about Credit Guard of America.
They're a nonprofit, licensed debt management company dedicated to getting people like us out of credit card debt.
If you have over $2,000 in credit card debt and are at least 30 days behind on your payments, then Credit Guard of America can help you.
They have a wide variety of programs that stop the harassment and reduce your monthly payments by up to 50%.
Call Credit Guard of America right now and get free of all credit card debt like we did.
I felt safe knowing that Credit Guard of America is a not-for-profit company.
We wanted a company that we could trust. And Credit Guard of America has helped thousands of Americans get out of credit card debt.
One phone call changed our financial future, and it can do the same for you.
Late fees and interest are putting you further in debt at this very moment. Do the smart thing and call Credit Guard of America right now.
Don't wait. Call immediately. It's time for a new beginning.
And we're back with drummer Roger Earl of Foghat.
Hello, Frank.
We talked about Savoy Brown.
Yeah.
Before Savoy Brown, actually, let's go way back. First time you picked up a set of drum sets.
Well, actually, the turning points.
We're not there yet, but go ahead.
Okay. I was 12 years old, first time I picked up a pair of drums, 12, 13. I used to work after schools, and I had a job at the local bakery on Saturday morning.
So was this your turning point? If this is your turning point, let's go into it.
Oh, is that all right? Yeah. All right. So, you know, I had my own money, and I wanted to play drums, or I wanted to get a motorbike. So I said to Dad, Dad, I want to get a motorbike. And he said, I'm not signing on the dotted line for that, son. I went, oh, I've got some money, but he had to sign for it. I said, well, I want to get a drum kit. And he said, all right. But he said, before you do that, I've got a friend who's a teacher who teaches drums. Why don't you go and hang out with him? So I took drum lessons for about 2 years, Chris Hayes, I think his name was, terrific teacher, and off I went, got my first drum kit when I was 15 years old.
But your first band?
First band, it was a band called The Tramps. There were a bunch of guys that I went to school with. They had a band like when they were 12 years old, and I joined them when I was 16, 17 years old, I believe. Ray Dorsett was a singer, who was a lead singer in Mungo Jerry, had a big hit. In the summertime, blah, blah, blah. And two other guys, Dave and Dick, were the guitar player and bass player. I'm still friends with everybody.
You didn't play on that song, did you?
No, but I did play on the first album they did. I did some session work back then.
Is that the first recording you did?
Yeah. No, it wasn't the first recording. I was already recording with Savoy Brown by that time when Mungo Jerry was working. But the first band I was with was The Tramps. Not the disco band.
Right. Not to be confused with
Saturday
Night Fever stuff. Foghat. You left Savoy Brown, three of you, and you formed Foghat. How soon after forming Foghat did you get a record deal?
That's interesting. Well, when we left Savoy Brown, we sort of left under somewhat of a cloud. The manager, Harry, you've heard of Harry, decided that we would never work again in England if we left the band. And true to his word, he stopped us from working in England. He managed Savoy Brown and Chicken Shack, who was another big band over there. So we had some money saved, and we just started writing, rehearsing. We did about 7 or 8 songs at Abbey Road Studios, and our manager, who's a good friend of mine, Tony Otida, came from New York, Long Island, and he took up the demos, which were pretty good, we had 6 or 7 songs, to all the major labels all over the country, all over the world, all the states and Europe, majors and minor labels, and they all turned us down. Every single one of them. So we were a little bit despondent because the greenies are starting to run a bit low. Wife and kid to keep. And Albert Grossman, who was the manager of Bob Dylan.
And the Beatles band. He got involved in.
Yeah, well, maybe. Bob Dylan, the band, Peter, Paul and Mary. He was forming a new label and he was looking for a band. And our manager at the time knew him and he came over to England. He was traveling with the band. They were doing a tour over there. And so we rented this little club in North London. And Albert came down to see us. It was in the afternoon, just Albert and us. You know, we cranked up the Hi-Watts and the Marshalls, and he visibly went, oh, when we started playing. But so after we played about 6 or 7 songs for him, and he said, is there anywhere we get some like tea and biscuits? So I said, yeah, there's a hotel across the road. So we went across the road and we sat down and Albert ordered tea and biscuits all round. And then he looked around at us like this. A very striking man. He had big long silver hair and ponytail. And he looked around and he said, well, hey, let's do it. And I knew that, you know, because of Albert's past, that meant we were on our way. And true to his word, he sent us $10,000 a couple of weeks later, and we started recording our first album.
In England or in America?
Actually in Wales, a place called Rockfield, and Dave Edmonds, who's a fantastic producer, singer and performer, became our producer on that first album.
What was in the first 7 songs that you gave to him? Do you remember?
Yeah, we did a version of I Just Want to Make Love to You, which eventually became a hit, Fools Hall of Fame, 5 or 6 of the songs that were on the first album, so, yeah. It worked.
What label did it appear on?
That was on Bearsville Records.
Oh, Bearsville.
Yeah.
Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, that's right. Todd, in fact, played on the first album with us. He played piano and some guitar, helped out on some mixing for us. We had a lot of help on the first record.
Are you still close with Todd?
I haven't seen him in a while, but yeah, we always got on really well. He's a great talent, great guitar player as well, and great singer, great songwriter, great songwriter.
When we come back, more with Roger Earl. We'll talk about his touring, his first touring with Foghat. We'll be back.
Turning Point with Frank McKay is brought to you by Atlantic Honda, New York's auto giant, and Herman Katz, Kanjimi and Klein, property tax attorneys and advisors.
Today at Atlantic Honda, we decided to interview some real customers.
They're family-oriented, and I really like the spot.
The prices are fantastic. I wasn't even planning on getting a brand-new car, and I wound up getting an 012.
Lease a 2012 Civic LX for just $89 a month. Lease a 2012 Accord for just $139 a month.
There's so much to choose from, it was hard, you know?
Got 10 cars to them.
Have a very good finance program.
This surpasses anything we've ever experienced in other Honda dealerships.
Visit AtlanticHonda.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Jonas.
And I'm Danielle Jonas.
And we chose to have our wedding at Ohika Castle because it's an amazing place where dreams have definitely come true.
Ohika is a real-life castle built back in 1919 by Otto Hermann Kahn. During the Roaring Twenties, he entertained famous celebrities such as Charlie Chaplin and Enrico Caruso. Lots of cool stuff happens at Ohika Castle, like weddings, bar and bat mitzvahs, sweet 16s, and historic mansion tours.
And this is Ohika Castle in Huntington, New York. So we love it there and we cannot wait to go back.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Did you know that term life insurance rates have fallen more than 60% in the past 15 years? I'm Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. At AccuQuote, we monitor the rates, features, and financial strength of hundreds of top-rated life insurance products from brand names you trust. Since 1986, we've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you save a fortune on their life insurance. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can protect his family with the $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $21 a month. We also have policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. So whether this is your first time buying life insurance or you want to see if you're paying too much, call today for your free quote.
Call 877-489-9639. That's 877-489-9639.
We're back with Roger Earl of Foghat. Roger, off air, we're talking a little bit about your touring. You told me a great story. Hopefully you'll tell it on air. It's about Peter Grant and some Quaaludes.
Yeah, well, there was a party going on, and it was Park Avenue South, one of the big hotels. It was early 70s, I think, 73, somewhere around there. Bunch of people. Bob Dylan was actually there. He was very quiet and holding court in one corner. Peter Grant was there, who was Led Zeppelin's manager. Big guy. He used to be a wrestler, I believe. He had a very high-pitched voice. He talked a little bit like that. But Peter was interesting. Anyway, he was crushing up Quaaludes and getting people to snort them. I stayed away from that. And so he wanders over to where Bob is sitting, and he says, "Oh, I'm Peter Grant. I'm Led Zeppelin's manager." And Bob apparently looked up and said, "Don't tell me your troubles. I've got troubles of my own." And then the rest of the song goes, "Leave me alone, tell it to a friend." But I digress.
Yeah. But Peter Grant, is that your only experience?
When we first started the band, he did come down to see the band and was interested in managing us, but it didn't work out.
Are you fortunate that it didn't work out? Do you think you would have gotten Zeppelin to it?
I don't know, really. No, actually, I was real fortunate that Albert Grossman came along and took us under his wing. That worked really well for us.
Oh, got you your first record deal, didn't
it? Yeah, our first record deal. He gave us our shot. He made millions off of us, but it was great.
How about first big tour? What was the first band that you really, you know, broke through with?
Early days, we did a lot of dates with Humble Pie and the Jay Garwas Band, two fantastic bands. We were often the opening act on that bill.
Even with Jay Giles? Because it took them a while before they broke.
Yeah, no, we would support Jay Garwas. In fact, the very first date, second date, I did with Savoy Brown way back then was up in Boston, and Jay Garwas was like the second band on the bill. But yeah, Jay Garwas were a fantastic band. Stevie Marriott and Humble Pie were like incredible. There's a couple of Stevie Marriott tales I could tell, but he was great. He was very generous with his time. I remember one time, you may have to bleep a few of these things
out. Don't worry, we'll worry about that.
All right then. So we just started touring, and as is often the case, it's the crew sometimes just overset their bounds, as it were. Anyway, we're opening up for Humble Pie, and like they're giving us all kinds of crap about lights, and we can't use this, we can't use that, and it was just, you know, there was no need for it because Humble Pie could like blow anybody away. You know, we were just struggling. So Stevie hears about this, and like we'd become friends. He was generous to a fault. He comes out on stage. He was only about 5'2". He said, "Leave fucking Foghat alone. Stop fucking with fucking Foghat. Anybody fucks with them, they're fucking with me. I leave them alone." And everybody went, "Okay." So he endeared himself to me.
You're right, we might have to bleep.
You might have to bleep. Well, that's Stevie Marriott for you.
A little later, we're going to get into, of all things, some cooking shows.
Yeah.
And some wine.
Yeah.
Something you're, I imagine, an expert on.
Well, I enjoy drinking, and I enjoy eating, I enjoy cooking, fishing. Wine was always my beverage of choice. I never drink before we play. Always sober.
Is that true?
True.
Not all the guys, though, right?
I played with a few hangovers over the years, but no, we all, being sober before you play, you know, being a musician, this is like, you know, we earn a living doing something we really enjoy. You get that 1 hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to play each day and get it right. You know, why mess it up by, you know, being drunk? Or you don't need it. Afterwards, we're allowed to imbibe.
Right. No, there's no law against that.
No, at all.
We'll be back right after this with Roger O.
Turning Point is brought to you by PC Wealth Management of Morgan Stanley Smith Barney and the law firm of Duffy & Duffy, protecting the victims of medical error.
Hi, I'm Kevin Jonas.
And I'm Danielle Jonas.
And we chose to have our wedding at Ohika Castle because it's an amazing place where dreams have definitely come true.
Ohika is a real-life castle built back in 1919 by Otto Hermann Kahn. During the Roaring Twenties, he entertained famous celebrities such as Charlie Chaplin and Enrico Caruso. Lots of cool stuff happens at Ohika Castle, like weddings, bar and bat mitzvahs, sweet 16s, and historic mansion tours.
And this is Ohika Castle in Huntington, New York. So we love it there, and we cannot wait to go back.
Today at Atlantic Honda, we decided to interview some real customers.
Family-oriented, and I really like the spot.
The price is fantastic. I wasn't even planning on getting a brand-new car, and I wound up getting an 012.
Lease a 2012 Civic LX for just $89 a month. Lease a 2012 Accord for just $139 a month.
There's so much to choose from, it was hard, you know?
Got 10 cars to them.
Have a very good finance program.
This surpasses anything we've ever experienced in other Honda dealerships.
Visit AtlanticHonda.com.
Attention, oxygen therapy users, for this important message.
I lost my freedom the day I went on oxygen. Those tanks, they kept me from really enjoying my life.
Hi, I'm Mary, an oxygen expert here at Inogen. If you require supplemental oxygen, we can help you regain your freedom and independence. Meet the new Inogen One. It's a lightweight and easy-to-use portable oxygen concentrator that makes its own oxygen. It works just like your in-home concentrator, but it's much smaller and lighter. Take your independence back and do the things you love without worrying about running out of oxygen. The Inogen One is even approved for air travel.
I first got this Inogen One, I thought, this is a godsend. This is a real piece of art.
Call now and we'll send you this free information kit. If you have Medicare or other insurance, you may be eligible to reclaim your freedom with the Inogen One at little or no additional cost.
Call 1-866-880-4355 for your free no-obligation information kit. Call 1-866-880-4355 today.
Welcome back. As you can see, we're going to talk a little bit about Foghat wine in a little bit. But in between the break, you brought up an interesting turning point. Let's talk about it on air.
I was about 12 years old. My father had just brought... my father played piano, and he brought home this record called Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis. And he said, well, have a listen to this, son. This boy can play piano. And Dad took me to a Jerry Lee Lewis show in about 1960 in Southwest London in a theatre. Took me and my brothers and some friends and stuff. And that was the turning point. Jerry Lee Lewis playing piano. And he brought his own drummer over from the States. And actually, Mum said, I've never been the same since. Jerry Lee Lewis was an incredible performer. I bought all his records, still do. He's just made a couple of albums over the last couple of years called Last Man Standing, which is fantastic. He is a brilliant piano player and singer.
No doubt about that.
And that was like the turning point. I saw him and I said, that's it, I'm going to be in a rock and roll band one way or another. I started learning piano at first, but then my brother plays piano, my older brother Colin, and Dad played piano. So drums, they're louder.
Yeah, right, they're more aggressive.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Speaking of lots of fun, let's talk about the wine. I'll give you an infomercial here.
We played the California Mid-State Fair about 7 years ago. And there was a winemaker there called Steve Rasmussen. He got in touch with us email and said, I don't know if you've probably already done this, but would you be interested in making some wine? And I said, that sounds like a good idea. So we went out and talked to him.
Why would you assume that you would have done that already?
Well, I don't know. He that's what he said. He said, no, we'll... we'd love to make some wine. So the first one we had was a 2005 Cabernet. It comes from the Central Coast of California. We have 2007. No, this is a 2008 Chardonnay at the moment. We have a 2007 Cabernet Sauvignon. We also have a 2010 Chardonnay in bottles, but they're laying down at the moment, and a 2010 Pinot Noir.
Is this fun, or is this lucrative, or is it both?
It's great fun. It's really good. Yeah, it is. It's a blast. You know, we go out there, we pick the grapes, we pick the fruit, we crush it, we do all the things and put it into the barrels and punch down, into the tanks and punch it down. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I haven't tried it. I heard it's very good.
Oh, it's fantastic wine. And the other thing I really enjoy about it, like we get out there and we're picking the grapes and working with everybody, is that the winemakers and the people, the growers, the farmers, they all share their ideas. They tell you what's working, what isn't working, if there's some kind of blight that's affecting certain grapes. And It's fantastic. The people are like generous to a fault with their knowledge, and everybody is sharing their food and drinking.
Other than wine, what's next? What do you do next? You're still playing.
Yeah, we do around 70 shows a year, mostly in the States, occasional forays into Europe and north of the border. That's Canada.
Yeah. Almost home.
Almost. No, this is home. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a cooking show in development. I love to cook. I love to eat. I grow my own stuff, catch fish, cook them. We film it on the road, so there's shows, touring. It's a lot of fun. It's like a bunch of old people playing rock and roll. I know how to do it.
And soon, hopefully, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They've got to run out of people to put in there, and they've got to put you guys in.
Yeah, that would be nice. But, you know, we're still working. We have a new album out last year. Last Train Home,
a blues album. Did you put it out on your own label?
Or yeah, we have our own label. We've had three or four albums out over the last 10 years, working on a new DVD from one of the live shows we had. And in the immortal words of our original singer, Lonesome Dave, gonna roll to roll and rock till we drop.
On that note.
Thank you, Frank. It's been a pleasure. A
pleasure having you. Thank you. Roger Earle, drummer of Foghat, co-founder of Foghat, and wine connoisseur and manufacturer now. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week on Turning Point. You said you passed up on the crushed quaaludes. How much of the drugs and alcohol did you get into?
I've always liked to drink. I could never get it above 135, 136 miles an hour. The reason being, the nose would come off the ground. I don't do things like that anymore.
I'll call him right now.
Okay. I'm gonna let Linda talk to him. I don't want to do business.
Yeah.
I'm a f***ing artist.